We'll just pray momentarily, and then we're going to do 10 through 17, the effects of taking up your cross. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word again. Thank you for the time of break and fellowship we have. And I pray, Lord, that again, you would just help us to listen and to learn these truths so that it makes a difference today in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, number 10. Taking up one's cross. Effect number 10, it offends those who reject Jesus. So again, some of these overlap a little bit. It draws scorn, but one of the reasons it draws scorn is it offends those who reject Jesus. Right? The cross indicates that you are unworthy. Right? If Jesus had to die on the cross, that means that everyone's unworthy of God by on their own standing. Notice here, Galatians 5:11, and I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. When Paul relates to circumcision, he relates to the idea of the Jews who think that somehow their righteousness could be attained by actions. One is circumcision. They're identifying with Abraham with circumcision, and it's like, well, circumcision's a picture, but it doesn't make you righteous. It might be an external sign, but it doesn't make you righteous, right? So it offended those when you start talking about the cross of Christ, and that's why the Jews today, most of them don't read Isaiah 53, because they avoid it like the plague, because it doesn't fit their mold of what they want their Messiah to be. But the cross says you are unworthy by yourself. You are unacceptable to God. And therefore you need someone to pay your payment. And that offends people. That no one wants to be told they're wrong. But the only way to get saved is to understand that you are a sinner. The only way that you can be saved is to understand that you are an offense to God because of your sinfulness. And that offends people who reject Jesus. They want to be able to say, no, I'm good enough. I'm standing right. If there is a God, I'll be in heaven, right? And that's simply not the case when you tell them that. The cross offends those who reject Jesus. Effect number 11, the cross draws persecution from those who reject Jesus. Again, a little different than scorn. This is actually different here, but notice Galatians 6:12, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Now what was happening again, and this is still in Galatians, believing Jews were getting other people to get circumcised to follow some religious act that God said wasn't required. That was something that Jews did, not for salvation, but to identify themselves as the people of God. But it wasn't required in the New Testament for believers at all. And yet they were yielding to that so that they would not be persecuted. They were being circumcised when God said, you don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to become a Jew to be a Christian. And yet saved Jews were pushing him in that direction. And Paul says that violates what's there, right? And people, when you start saying that you need to walk with God and obey God and your righteousness comes from God, people will persecute you, even from the religious orders. In fact, Jesus' biggest enemies were religious people, right? You will find your greatest enemies among the religious. So it draws persecution from those who reject Jesus, and I would say religious people who reject Jesus. Effect number 12. Taking up your cross focuses your complete attention on Jesus' accomplishment. It focuses your complete attention on Jesus' accomplishment. Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Right? Paul says after he has said in different ways that I'm a Jew of the Jews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, which in some ways was considered one of the more elite tribes in many ways. And he says, all of that has been crucified to me and I to the world. Right? When you die to yourself, then the cross of Christ becomes your attention. It's what God wants me to do, not what I want to do. Not what's comfortable, convenient, desirable for me to do. It's what God wants me to do. That becomes your entire focus. Let me read that again. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Everything should be summarized in the cross of Christ for us. That should be our focal point, our foundation, our momentum, our decision-making process, all of that needs to be there. Effect number 13, new slide here. Taking up one's cross connects you outwardly with others who follow Jesus. Now, this is a positive. Some of these are negative. You know, we don't like to be persecuted. We don't like to be scorned. We don't like to rub people the wrong way. And it just will happen when you die to self, take up your cross and follow Jesus. But what one good thing that comes out of taking up your cross is it connects you outwardly with others who follow Jesus. Ephesians 2:16, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Now this is talking about Jews and non-Jews. Gentiles or Greeks sometimes are called in the New Testament. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Right, there's those two categories on earth. But the cross connects the two. All of a sudden we have commonality. We have commonality both in standing, but I believe there's a commonality. When people are sacrificing themselves for the glory of God by taking up their cross and following Him, you have a relationship with them that you cannot have with believers who are not doing that. Right? You're either walking with God in the narrow way, or you're with the rest who are rebelling against God in the easy path. And there's a fellowship, a sense of closeness with those that are walking with God and sacrificing, picking up their cross daily and following Him. There's a unity there that's possible and active when people are carrying their cross daily. I hate to liken it to this because it's probably faulty in many ways. But it's like people in combat have a commonality there that all of a sudden the differences don't make any difference. Right? You're going in the same direction, sacrificing for the same thing, suffering the same hardships, and all of a sudden there's a unity, a close relationship with those that are walking with Jesus with you. So it connects you outwardly with others who follow Jesus. I think it does it positionally, but also practically. Here's another one here that you may or may not like. But it is an outcome of this. It humbles you to act on behalf of the good of others. When you take up your cross and follow Jesus on a daily and ongoing basis, you will be available and actively caring for others because it humbles you. Notice here, Philippians 2:8. This is speaking of Jesus Himself. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Taking up your cross is an act of humility. It's an act of saying, I am not first. Christ is first. I am not first. What Christ wants me to do is first. And therefore, as Christ gave Himself for others, I give myself for others. Some of us grew up singing a song called Joy, right? Jesus and others in you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. J is for Jesus and He takes first place. O is for others. We meet face to face. Y is for you. And whatever you do, put yourself third and find joy, right? The cross, that this whole context of Philippians 2 is, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who did not consider himself, this is the horrible paraphrase, too big to come to earth and die for you. And it says, you have that same mind and you put others before you. If Jesus can put us before him, we can put ourselves last and put others first. And that's the very context of Philippians 2. The cross has that impact. It allows us, it helps us, it activates us to be able to put others first in our lives. And that is what we are called to. Christ came not to be served, but to what? Serve. And give himself a ransom for many. I read in John 13 yesterday that Jesus, and this was the evening he was betrayed ultimately, when they had supped, he took off his outer robe, wrapped a towel around him, and he washed the feet of the disciples. And he says, what I have done, you do also. You are to serve other people. Yes, even washing mangly, dirty, smelly feet. It's an act of humility to take up your cross and follow Jesus. And you will be serving others, even in the mundane, the dirty jobs and all of that, as you serve Jesus. Because he said, what I have done, you do also. Taking up your cross humbles you to act on behalf of the good of others. Number 15. Taking up one's cross works with God rather than against God. Now maybe it's restating it 17 different ways here, you know, these different effects. But don't you want to work with God rather than working against God? Don't you want to go in the direction God is trying to push you rather than going against the direction, swimming upstream, canoeing upstream, walking uphill, going the wrong way in the treadmill kind of thing? Philippians 3:18, for many walk, of whom I told you often and now tell you even weeping. Paul is talking about believers here, as I understand it, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. How? In what way? In what way can we make ourselves the enemies of Christ? The word is found in the answer is found in the verse. By our walk. Right? It's the choices we make, the directions we go, how we spend our time, how we spend our money, how we spend our energy, right? All of those things. That's the conduct, our character of our walk. And the Bible says that many are the enemy of Christ. For many walk, of whom I told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. How? By their walk. And God wants you to walk so that you're working with Him, not against Him. As we've shared in recent weeks, if you understand God correctly and what He's relating in Scripture, and you obey what God is relating in Scripture, you will be completely different than people who are not walking with God, including the unsaved people. Because people who do not walk with God are walking as if they're unsaved. They are ignoring the God that saved them. Right? So the taking up our cross works with God rather than against God. If you are doing your own thing, making your own choices, spending your money your way, spending your time your way, doing what you want to do, out of your comfort, your convenience, your own passions and desires, the Bible identifies you in function as an enemy of Christ. And Paul says many are that way. And it's based upon your walk, not not the fact that you come to church once a week or twice a week or whatever the case might be. It's how you live 24/7. It's what you do when you're not here, as well as what you do while you're here, right? You can be an enemy of Christ and come to church, right? The enemies across. So taking up your cross works with God rather than against God. And you are either working with God by taking up your cross and following Jesus in an ongoing way, or you're an enemy of Christ, because it changes the way you walk, changes the way you conduct yourself. And that's sobering, but it's true. And again, there are two directions, not ten. There's no middle ground. You're either obeying God or you're disobeying God as a believer. And it changes the entire way you do. Taking up your cross is saying, God, I die to myself. My desires, the way I want to use my time, the way I want to use my energy, the way I want to use my money, the direction I want to go, none of that matters because I'm following you. What would you have me to do? Right? It's not what is convenient, what is comfortable, what is desirable necessarily from our fleshly standpoint. 16, effect number 16, taking up our cross builds upon the foundation of God's salvation. Not only does it follow the design of salvation, but it builds upon that foundation. Colossians 1:20, and by Him, middle of a sentence, but we'll get it, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross, that's the salvation part. Colossians 2:14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now, again, if I can tie it in with Titus chapter 2, He saved us so that He might make for Himself a holy and spotless people, zealous of good works. That's this life, not in the life to come. In this life, right? Salvation builds, taking up our cross builds on the foundation of God's salvation. And here we have the foundation, and that's what it frees us from sin. It helps us to see sin as it is, and it lets us go onward to do what God wants in our life. The last one here, effect number 17. Taking up our cross points us to the future. Notice the cross is to encompass our lives. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That is a fact, but it's also an example. We are to endure the cross that Christ tells us we are supposed to carry. We are supposed to pick up our cross daily in an ongoing way and follow Him, looking for Him to come, looking for the joy that's before us, despising the shame that comes with it, but looking for the joy that will eventually follow. So taking up our cross helps us to have a right focus on forever. It's not easy. Carrying a cross is sometimes extremely difficult. Have you ever thought, I'm trying to live for God, why is life so hard? You ever have that thought? Yeah, me neither. Life is always peachy clean and good. No. Sometimes you do. You're like, God, I'm trying. And it's like, you know what? Taking up your cross, God doesn't say everything will be good. In fact, He says it's going to be hard your entire life. It's going to be difficult throughout your life. The point is not to make life easy. The point is to make life count for eternity, to accomplish what God wants to do. And an easy life is not in the job description. I even told you, yeah, I think it was last week, that some people use the phrase, let us come apart and rest a while. That's like some people try to define that into a 3-month sabbatical or whatever. It's like the disciples, all the chance the disciples had to rest was in the boat between the time they left and the time they arrived. That was it, right? Because ministry is hard and long, and we're supposed to take breaks. I think there's still a sabbatical principle, like a weekly rest. But otherwise, we're supposed to work hard and long every day. And then we rest one day a week, and then we go back at it. That's what God has called us to do. He hasn't called us to play. He hasn't called us to enjoy life, in a sense. He's called us to accomplish what He wants for His purposes, to serve His people, to become holy and righteous as we learn, and then to promote His kingdom, ultimately to evangelize and to be the salt and light in this world. He hasn't called us to a life of ease. Taking up the cross and following Jesus does not in any way relate to ease. It doesn't relate to rest. In a physical sense, I believe there's, like I said, weekly rest principle and things like that. But ultimately, even Hebrews talks about we're to labor to enter into His rest. Rest for God is doing what He wants us to be doing consistently. Not having nothing to do, right? It's not that way. But anyway, I felt that this was worth a revisit. That taking up our cross is essential to understand because we are believers and we are to be behaviors or to be obeyers. And there is no obedient believer who is not taking up his cross and following Jesus in an ongoing way. You cannot be not my disciple, Jesus said, if you're not doing this. So you're either obeying or you're defying. And I want to challenge you to obey. It's not easy. It's always the hard road, not the easy road. That's why it's a narrow road rather than the wide road. But God calls us to this lifestyle for all of our life, for all of our minutes, for all of our days. Are you taking up your cross daily and following Jesus? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have to say, and I'm sure I have not exhausted this in any way, but I pray, Lord, that you would just capture our hearts and help us to understand that we cannot live for ourselves and live for you. We must take up our cross constantly and follow you. We cannot do what we want to do, what we desire to do, what our passions are. We cannot use our time the way we want, our money the way we want, our energy the way we want, our health the way we want. We need to serve you until Jesus comes back or you call us home. We pray that you would help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.